Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Let's be honest, you've been portrayed as a monster.
Yes.
Evil, maniacal.
What's it like to interview a killer? 48 Hours is taking you inside what we've learned about the criminal mind. This is Killer Conversation. You can follow and listen to Killer Conversation on Tuesdays in the 48 Hours podcast feed on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
That felt good. That felt real good.
Yeah, it's a wrong. I mean, you added in the Booker T. That was not Booker T, though. So
no, I know it wasn't. Okay. But also,
how many people have stolen from that movie? And since I wore the shirt the other day, it reminded me of that.
Can you dig it, sucker? Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, this is the Rob Brown Show. This is the Fan Upstate. Hello to you, and how do you do, Upstate South Carolina? Hello, America. What up, world? Great to have you with us today, this lovely Thursday. What a day that we have coming up for you today. I got to talk NBA draft, because the Hornets were involved in some interesting moves last night. The Hawks were involved in some interesting moves last night. You know, there was one spot where the Hawks drafted a guy and they traded him, so he went from a Hawk to a Bull. Heyo, been sitting on that one all night. Felt real good. We have got to talk a lot of NBA draft. Here's the thing that I loved about that draft, because I sat down, great one, last night with every intention of following along very closely with the NBA draft, because it's the NBA draft. Why wouldn't I? So I'm following along with the NBA draft last night, and I was kind of, you know, taking notes and getting ready to talk about it this morning on the show. It's a big event because, you know, much like we say with the NFL draft every year, yes, the season just ended 5 days ago, but felt real good last night because on draft night, everybody's undefeated. Everybody is trusting that their team and their GM aren't going to screw it up. I am relatively sure the first time this year, I haven't broke out the Pelly shirt today, because I like the draft from last night for New Orleans. Now, I'm not going to like it next year because we now officially have no picks next year.
Wait, so that's a Pelican?
Well, it's our theme night. This is our City Connect. We went with like a Halloween neon green and purple.
Okay, that looks like an emperor's head moth or
something. No, it's a pelican, but it's skeleton. So it's a pelican skeleton skull, and the wings are bones with feathers instead of like the bird feathers. It's our alternate logo, and it's my favorite logo. I wish we just went neon green and purple boned theme all the time. For two reasons. One, it looks great. And because number two, usually when I watch the Pelicans, I think to myself, we're boned. So it works out great. So I'm sitting down to follow along last night with the NBA draft, and I've got my little tablet of truth out to take the notes about, you know, all right, who's Charlotte taking early in this draft? Con Knipple, by the way. Okay. I don't love it. I don't hate it. Kind of all right. We'll talk about that coming up in a little while. And then we get our first trade. And then we get our next trade. And then we got how about this? Of the 30 picks that were made last night, a third of them were traded. 10 of 30 picks were picks that moved. This is something that is very interesting about the NFL draft. The NBA draft in comparison to the NFL draft. Somebody yesterday on social media made an argument that I really liked. They said, because we were having a conversation, a group of people were having a conversation about 10 teams draft well in the NBA. Because, and Zoe and I had a conversation yesterday before we both left the studio to head back to the Fortress of Nerditude. And the conversation we had was, yeah, we're all pumped up about the draft. We're excited about, you know, top 10 guys, lottery guys, whatever. How many of those dudes are going to make an impact next year? How many of those dudes drafted in the first round are even going to play in the association next year? How many of them will spend a couple of years in the G League? How many of them will never get out of the G League, et cetera, et cetera? And that I honestly was thinking about that quite a lot into the evening as I got set up for the draft last night. And somebody said something online that I have been spinning around. And I will acknowledge that because the draft was last night, I did not have the time or opportunity or effort to go actually dig the numbers. I'm going to try to do that this afternoon and have it ready for tomorrow after round two concludes tonight. But somebody said yesterday on social media to me, it is not about how you draft in the NBA. It is about how you develop. They said, have you ever looked at the fact that with all these different teams that keep coming up with draft day steals? They were one of the arguments was based around Steph Curry, because the year that Steph Curry got drafted by Golden State, Minnesota had the two previous picks. They picked two dudes, one of which was Ricky Rubio. They picked two dudes at, I think they were 6 and 7, before Steph Curry came off the board at 8. Now, in fairness, Steph Curry was known more for being Del Curry's kid than he was a generational shooter at that point. But, and the reason for that is, and the reason he got bumped up to 8 when he was expected to be a late first round, early second round pick, was Steph Curry had that really good run through the tournament that year. Remember when he just like, he looked like Steph Curry, like what Steph Curry was going to come and turn into. And you kind of got that first glimpse in that tournament of, oh, this kid can hoop a little bit. This kid can shoot. This kid's a sniper. So Minnesota passed on Steph Curry twice. And obviously it's easy looking at where we are now to dunk on Minnesota and been like, what would you have been if you would have drafted Steph Curry? Would you have been what Golden State was during the high of Steph Curry's career? And a lot of people were kind of making commentary. Yeah, it's easy to judge that a handful of years and Steph's whole career later. But the point was, Golden State has, over the years, done a very good job, not of drafting, but of developing. A very good job of understanding what the guys they draft need to become great NBA players. And somebody pointed out that if you go look at all of these stories of, you know, so-and-so got skipped over twice by this team, or that team had the option to draft this guy, but they traded back and they ended up with, you know, some guy who played a few years and was always just kind of okay. He said, you ever notice it's like it's always the same teams that are passing on guys, and it's always the same teams that are finding those guys. And we always kind of want to credit it as, what a wonderful job of drafting. But the reality is, they know the type of player that they need to make the team good. Then they get that type of player, and they develop them within that system. And I'm going to pay attention to that with last year's draft, the year before that's draft, and I'm going to watch it develop with this year's draft because I do think that it is going to be interesting to see with some of these players. Ace Bailey, for instance, very interesting pick. We were talking yesterday, Ace Bailey's the one with the drama. He wasn't going to Philly. He was skipping out on workouts. He was turning down invitations for dinner with GM and all that. He didn't want to go to Philly, so he skipped out on dinner with the GM and all that. His agent had made it known that his preferred landing spots were, hilariously enough, New Orleans and Washington. Now, you want to know why that is? I thought about this last night. I thought about it after we talked about it yesterday, and I came to the realization that in both of those teams, he's going to get paired with a good player, maybe even a great player, but not a wildly culturally significant player, meaning he could go in there, I'm speculating here. He could go into a place like New Orleans and he could develop and grow himself as a player and a brand, but not have to carry the weight of the franchise because that's Zion's job. He could go to Washington, kind of do the same thing. So Ace Bailey wanted to go to Washington or New Orleans, where I think he could kind of grow and develop and be off in a small market and grow his brand, whatever. Didn't want to land anywhere else. Gets drafted by the Utah Jazz, who you could see. Again, speculating here, but like they turned the camera to Ace Bailey after he got announced as Utah's pick, and his face was this moment of like, you gotta be bleeping kid. Utah. Now, I actually really like the fit of Ace Bailey in Utah. I think he really kind of meshes with what they needed in that spot. But now the question mark's going to be, is Utah going to be able to develop a guy like Ace Bailey, or in 5 years, 4 years after his rookie contract is up and he never becomes that guy, does he get traded up out of there, go somewhere else, become that star, and everybody blames Utah or whatever?
That's the big question. So if you are a star and known as a star in the college ranks, that usually translates to being a star for the most part in the NBA. The guys who aren't stars, you don't hear from them again. I'm looking at the 2024 draft. I only know a handful of these guys. And I think the same thing is going to happen in this draft. You know Cooper Flagg's playing right away.
Sure.
That's it.
Ace Bailey's playing right away. There's going to be the lottery.
Is he?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Ace Bailey absolutely will.
I don't know.
Ace Bailey absolutely
will. You don't even know if he's playing for that team.
No, he will play for Utah. So this is the thing. He does not have any leverage to not play for Utah. Like there's nothing he can do.
He hasn't signed a contract yet either.
Well, yeah, I mean, I guess he has the option of
not playing
at all.
And going to Europe or something.
Sure.
Which people have done before.
But so. as the number two pick, he's going to be turning down dozens of millions of dollars to do that. So how much do you not listen, I've said this before. I got no interest in doing a show in Topeka, but if tomorrow whatever calls and goes, hey, Rob Brown, we're up here in Topeka, Kansas. We've heard a lot about you. We'd like to hire you, and we're going to pay you $5 million a year. Buddy, I'm going to do my 4 or 5 years in Topeka because then I can go do whatever
who
I
was
want.
Who was the number two pick in the NBA draft last year?
Alex Saar, and I only know that because I was looking at it last night.
Okay.
Went to the Washington Wizards. Number two last night.
Did he play?
He was a center. He wasn't super. I think he had some PT. I don't really know, to tell you the truth. But then again, in fairness, it's the Washington Wizards.
See, I get that.
You know what I mean? Like,
but I think maybe we're spoiled by the NFL draft. When you see these guys, especially the top picks, you know they're playing, unless they're a quarterback and they decide to set him for a while. If a lineman gets drafted, he's probably playing. If a receiver gets drafted, he's probably playing.
Yeah, I think,
in basketball, I don't know.
You're not wrong, but I also would look and say to some degree, especially for us, like I'm a big basketball guy, so I'm all in on the draft or whatever, but I'm obviously a big football guy too. I look at last year, Marvin Harrison Jr. from the 2024 draft. Caleb Williams, we know where he is. He hasn't reached star yet. Now, again, much like I did with Trevor Lawrence and Bryce Young, I blame that on the franchise.
This ain't even about stardom. It's about playing, period. In the NBA, you get drafted, and you don't. A lot of these guys don't make it on the floor.
I don't disagree. I'm also going to say, and this might be a basketball elitist. No, it's not an elitist take. I'm going to go with this is a guy who knows ball take. I think the difference between college basketball and pro basketball is a much wider difference than the difference between college football and pro football. Like the guys in pro football.
It was, but I don't know that it's going to stay that way because, again, we've talked about with NIL money, guys staying in college longer, developing longer. So when they get to the NBA, I think it'll be different.
Well, I'm not even talking about developing as a player, growing into your body, whatever. I'm talking about the game is just different. Right? Like, it's a different game of it's at its core, it's basketball. It's dribble, it's shoot, it's pass, it's defend.
They have quarters in the NBA.
Which, by the way, the NCAA is discussing getting rid of quarters and getting rid of halves and going to quarters in men's basketball, doing 4 10-minutes like they do on the women's side. I'd be fine if they got rid of halves and went to 4 12-minute quarters. Just do it the same length as the NBA.
Right.
But that's a different discussion for another segment. I think the gulf of difference in not development of the players, but the game itself between college basketball and pro basketball makes sense that a lot of these guys, especially when we're talking about, when we're talking about picks 8 through the rest of the draft, it makes sense to me that they need more time in a system like a G League that is developmental in the NBA style of basketball, because I don't know how many the guys that come out of college or come from. Now, there is an advantage here. This is interesting, too. I think a different conversation with the number of guys that got drafted last night from the NBA Africa Academy, NBA Europe, whatever. Guys that are coming over like Victor Wembanyama, like Zachary Richosse, who was the Atlanta Hawks pick number 1 overall last year. These guys come over from playing effectively pro ball in Europe. The folks in Europe, even though it's FIBA ball, have constructed their basketball to have a more similar NBA feel than the college game does here. And because of that, a lot of those European guys, French guys, Spanish guys, German guys, Russian guys, Eastern European guys, African players, they come over and they're more trained in the NBA style of basketball versus the guys coming out of college, especially if they played 3 or 4 years in college, but certainly 2 or 3 years in college, not talking about the one and dones that got so used to playing college ball, you got to train them. They've got to be developed out of that. So I don't know. It's going to be interesting to follow. And one of the things that I am planning on doing tonight, I believe I'm going to have time. One of the things I'm going to plan to do tonight, I'm going to go look at last year's NBA draft, the 2024 NBA draft, and I'm going to take out the guys who got hurt, the guys who got injured, the guys who couldn't play because of physical reasons, and then look at all the dudes who either did play, didn't play, spent the whole season in the G League, maybe bounced up and down on a two-way, whatever the case might be. And we will get into that a little bit because I'm kind of curious, and I wonder if that's going to stay true of this year's draft class. The portal and NIL have been in play for enough time now that the kids that are coming into the NBA draft, and they're two-year guys, they've played in the NIL world the whole time. Right? Like, you're in the NIL world now. This isn't like, oh, well, what's the future? You're in it. You're living it right now. So I'm going to go look at all the dudes that came in last year and see how many of them made an impact, if at all. Because I'm looking down at the bottom half of round one, and there's guys like Isaiah Collier, who was a very interesting pick out of USC as a point guard, a guy that was diagnosed as has the skill set, is really rough around the edges. I want to go look. Let's go see what they did. And I'm not just talking about in the association. Did they dominate the G League? And they just said, hey, go cook, go develop. Because I do think that there is some level of some NBA teams are just better at understanding what their young cats need in order to turn into the best version of themselves.
Dominating the G League, I don't think that translates. The guy who's won the dunk contest dominates the G League.
He does not dominate the G League. He dominates the dunk contest, and I love him.
I think he was.
He's got good numbers in the G League.
I think he led the league in points, not this last year, but the year before. He's pretty good in the G League.
Oh, he's definitely good. Oh, Mac's pretty good.
I'm just saying, I don't think that necessarily translates.
He's also a 5'10" white guy that's not as good as TJ McConnell, right? Like that. Like there are some guys. Again, it's kind of like the argument I've made about me for a long time. If I was 6'8", I'd have been a good basketball player. the game that I was capable of at 6'3", it's not that I didn't want to work for it. I wasn't willing to grind. I was the hardest worker on my team, every team I was on. I just stunk. I just didn't have the physical build to play the game. I was a big man in a power forward's body at 6'3". Actually, I was in a, when you talk about big time college, I was a big man in a point guard's body. I didn't have point guard game. If I, A, was 6'9", or B, had point guard game, yeah, I probably could have done something with it. Some guys just aren't built like that. That's why we celebrate the Alex Carusos of the world. Because you look at that guy and you go,
hey, don't you disparage Alex Caruso.
I'm not. I'm actually going to hand Alex Caruso some flowers later in the show. I love Alex Caruso. And TJ McConnell. I like Gritty Glue Guy. I'm a big fan of Gritty Glue Guy.
Why are you only talking about white dudes?
Name me the other Gritty Glue Guy.
Austin Reeves.
There you go. There you go. All right, we're going to talk some NBA draft as the show progresses. Got a couple of college football topics to get into today in on the show. Lonzo sent me yesterday a graphic that is from the EA College Football 2026 game that is dropping soon. Soon, right? Or is it already out? I don't really know. Anyway.
I'll check.
They ranked the hardest stadiums to play in. I told you, it's peak off season radio. It's ranking season, baby. They ranked the hardest stadiums to play in. Clemson and South Carolina, both ranked. But where? Nah. It's my evil henchman laugh. Come back and find out. Rob Lonzo, you, the Rob Brown Show, the fan upstate.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Let's be honest, you've been portrayed as a monster.
Yes.
Evil, maniacal.
What's it like to interview a killer? 48 Hours is taking you inside what we've learned about the criminal mind. This is Killer Conversation. You can follow and listen to Killer Conversation on Tuesdays in the 48 Hours podcast feed on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rob Brown Show back on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate. A little early NBA draft conversation from last night. If you are not an NBA guy, then hang out for a few minutes. We're going to circle back around. Don't you worry about it. I got a lot of college football talk coming up later on in the radio program. I've got some NFL talk we're going to get to, a little more Carolina Panther talk, a little overall NFL talk and more. Can I tell you my favorite part about last night? My favorite part about last night was that there was at least a couple of picks that took place where kids walked up to the stage after being selected, and I don't know if they didn't notice or the NBA didn't notice or whatever, and they had the wrong team's hat on the thing for them to put on. So there was at least two kids that got up there and put on the hat of a team that didn't draft them. And it was very awkward. That's not my favorite part. My favorite part is, I'm a big Scott Van Pelt guy. I think Scott Van Pelt might be the best personality on TV right now. He is emotional, loves the sports, but he's also a sports guy. He's going to talk about the X's and O's. He keeps it even keel. When he does the highlights, he includes more than just like the one or two. I like Scott Van Pelt a lot. And dude was heated at the end of that broadcast. I mean, Mans was furious at the end of that broadcast. So he went on to ask Jay Bilas, what the hell was that? And you could tell Jay, poor Jay, was in this spot where he's like, dog, what do you want me to say?
Poor Jay. I mean,
I like Jay.
Yeah, he's also kind of a punk. So
I mean, like, maybe. But
he was a punk to me on the phone, so he's forever a punk.
I mean, that's fair. I've interacted with some people that, like...
He did put Mark Bryan in his place, like, kind of a who are you type thing, which I thought was hilarious. But it was mean to me on the phone. It's like, yeah, okay, I will forever not like you.
I don't know, man.
I don't know if you knew that.
Now, you do have to keep in mind, there is...
He comes across as an angry guy because I do believe he is. And so him being upset is not unusual. That's all I'm trying to say.
Here's the dirty little secret. To make it to that level of media, you kind of got to be a butthole. Like, it's unfortunate. There, you either have to be. I've had extended interaction with Scott Van Pelt with SVP. A girl that I was dating a long time ago, her sister was sorority sisters with Van Pelt's wife. And so when she got married, SVP's wife was in the bridal party, as was obviously my at the time girlfriend. And so the sister, when she put the tables together, put me next to Scott Van Pelt. She's like, obviously you guys hopefully will hit it off and it won't be awkward. So I was sitting next to SVP at the wedding. Super nice guy. We got in a conversation. He vacations in Destin. We were talking about that, whatever. He's one of the guys that, like, I can tell you sincerely, his on-the-air character personality is just who he is in real life.
Okay, you set that up like he was going to be a jerk.
No, I was saying the opposite.
Thank goodness you didn't go there.
What I'm saying is a lot of the people on TV that you really do like are buttholes behind the scenes, and there's two ways to make it to the top if you want to rock and roll. Number one is you be exceptionally and exceedingly nice to the point that people, like, really remember you because of how kind you are. That's obviously what I try to do. Or you step on people's throats and you stab people in the back. And we all know some people like that. So, it is what it is. Whatever. The hat thing is interesting because I do think that there are some behind-the-scenes stuff that SVP was talking about, and that is the way that the NBA draft works is different than the NFL draft. The NBA draft, you can select a cat and then trade him. In the NFL, if you select a cat, you got to sign him to a contract, then you can trade him. The NBA teams are allowed to trade a player they've just drafted before that player signs a contract, unlike in the NFL, where the player cannot be traded until they are under a contract. So what happens in that spot is that a player will get drafted, they will walk up on stage with the hat of the team that selected them, but oftentimes what happens is the team that selected them already had a deal in place to trade them. They already knew that they were sending them on, and so you end up with kids wearing the wrong hat. And so what SVP was saying there is not like, oh, they just grabbed the wrong one and put it on the little hat podium thing that they had, little hat podium.
Rack? Hat rack?
No, they had legitimately a podium, and when the kid got drafted, come out, it would just be the hat sitting on top of a hat podium. I'm going hat podium.
Okay, all right.
So they had the hat on top of the hat podium, and I think what Van Pelt was saying there was, if you know a kid is getting traded, if you know that they are going to draft this dude and he's already on his way out of town because they traded the draft rights. That happened with Asa Newell last night.
I was going to say, this isn't unusual.
This happened
five times last night. This happened a bunch throughout
the draft.
It
happened four times last night. Right? Yeah, it happened to Asa Newell, happened to a couple others.
There's no way to fix that. I know you're saying if they know, but that if they come out wearing the hat of the team they're going to be traded to, that takes the drama, whatever little drama, away.
Well, some of those trades happen after, like, 2-3 picks later, so it's like it is what it is. You got drafted. You did get, even if you got traded from him, you did get drafted by that team. But a lot of these deals go down where, and this happened to, who was it last night? It was in the top 5 or 6 picks. I'm blanking right now. I'll go back and try to recall and remember. This happened a couple of times last night where a kid got drafted and then within before the pick got announced. I know this happened with at least once. They brought Shams on to do a Shams wow, where he said, I think it was Cedric Coward, who got drafted to Portland at 11, then they traded him to Memphis. Shams came out before the pick was announced, and he's like, just as an FYI, they're going to draft this kid, and they're going to trade him to Memphis in return for whatever. And I think the argument that SVP was making in that spot was, if you know that's going to happen, like, let the kid come out wearing the hat of the team he's traded to, not that he got, you know, that he got drafted. I don't know. It's just a weird thing. The NBA's draft rules are very weird. But I'll tell you what I'd like to do. I'd like to go to the break on time here. You're welcome. And here's why. Because I'd like to spend one more segment on the NBA draft. But I will actually talk not about hats, not about hat podiums, not about Scott Van Pelt. When we come back, let's talk about some of the winners and losers last night and whether or not the Hornets, the Hawks, any of the big market teams or small market teams are in that group. How did the Hornets make out last night? They got a couple of picks I like. They got a couple of setup for the future moves that I like. What about the Hawks? They were involved in a number of moves last night. Where they end up at? Let's talk about the actual draft when we come back. Hour 2, Water Cooler Cheat Sheet. Got some great sound for you coming up at 8:30 because we got Lulu Kesson at 8 o'clock. Rashad Beard move into Fridays from today on, by the way. The Rob Brown Show is on the Fan Upstate.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Let's be honest, you've been portrayed as a monster.
Yes.
Evil, maniacal.
What's it like to interview a killer? 48 Hours is taking you inside what we've learned about the criminal mind. This is Killer Conversation. You can follow and listen to Killer Conversation on Tuesdays in the 48 Hours podcast feed on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's all we do is class, man. We class the joint up, eh? Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Rob Brown, Lonzo, and you. It is the Rob Brown Show here on the Fan Upstate. Hub City Spartanburger text line. Thoughts on the NBA draft last night. 844-326-3663. If you are a Charlotte fan, if you are an Atlanta fan, if you are just a fan of whomstever, and you got thoughts on your team's draft last night, hit me up. Again, we're not going to spend the entire show on the NBA draft because the NBA draft is, of course, wildly consequential to the future of franchises, but at the same time, as Lonzo has pointed out correctly a number of times, a good portion of the cats that you saw drafted last night, you'll never hear from them again. Or if you do, it's because they're like a third-string reserve guy down the line. But the teams that know how to A, draft well, and then B, develop the guys that they draft well, they can change their franchise's destiny. Jacob texted the show, said, that happened to Kobe Bryant, worst trade in NBA history, Queen City buzz for the win. Keep in mind that Kobe Bryant in 1996 was kind of a weird situation. And when Charlotte drafted Kobe, the Lakers had already made a deal with Charlotte. They were going to send Vlade Divac to Charlotte in return for Kobe Bryant. And at the time, Vlade Divac was kind of a dude. Like, he wasn't Shaq, but Vlade for a hot minute there was kind of a dude. He was a proven NBA guy. The Hornets at the time wanted help in the front court. Divac was going to give them that. And now here's the part where it is a mistake. Charlotte did not see Kobe as part of their long-term plan. But here's the reality. Kobe Bryant was a high school kid, right? Like, were you, if you're Charlotte, gambling your entire, and you look back at it now and you go, like, maybe it is what teams should do, but gambling your future on one of the very few kids that were getting drafted out of high school, that's a big risk. So it kind of made sense that that was going to happen. Then you also have to remind yourself that Kobe and his agent, they wanted to go to L.A. And so in a situation like that where a kid says, I want to be here, and that team wants him, you could make the argument that that gives you a little bit of leverage in the trade, which is why they ended up with Vlade Divac at the height of Vlade, not random dude, right? They didn't end up with some random shooting guard that wasn't going to help them all that much. So I think that there is you're right, Jacob. It is the worst move ever, but it wasn't like it was a super avoidable reality for Charlotte at the time. All right, let's take a look at some of the interesting things that broke out last night, as well as the picks that were made and how they wrapped up for the local teams. Let's open up with Charlotte drafting fourth overall. VJ Edgecombe came off the board to number three at Philadelphia. There was a hot second there that I kind of thought, all right, maybe the buzz go Ace Bailey here. Now, we talked about this yesterday. Ace Bailey's the cat that probably was overplay, actually not probably, we now know that he was overplaying his hand a little bit in the lead up to the draft, or maybe thought he had more leverage than he did. Ace Bailey was turning down workouts with teams. We did not specifically hear that he did or did not do so with the Charlotte Hornets. My assumption is he did, because I never heard that Bailey was working out with Charlotte. Maybe that's why Charlotte wasn't there. I will say that I think the decision by Arizona. I think the decision by Utah to draft him anyway, when he very clearly, not that he didn't want to be in Utah, we didn't know where he did want to go. And it wasn't the Utah Jazz. So that is a move that is a big roll of the dice for the Jazz. If the kid is willing to go, okay, you know what? I didn't get what I want, but I do get to go to the NBA. I didn't get what I want, but I get to go play in the league. I didn't get what I want, but I do get to go and change my family's future and make tens of millions of dollars, hundreds of millions of dollars, and effectively have the chance to become the guy. Utah, while it does have a, I'll say, particular, interesting, and in many cases questionable fan base in Utah, it's also a rabid fan base. Like, it's a good fan base. Utah ever makes the playoffs and makes a run, they're gonna have the same reception as the Thunder did, as the Pacers did, in terms of people going, oh, damn, that's a pretty good home court advantage. So that's kind of an interesting move. It's a gutsy move from Utah, because you are rolling the dice that the kid's not going to come in there and effectively, like Anthony Davis did in New Orleans, go, yo, I'm hanging out here for a few years until I get the chance to, you know, not have to hang out here anymore. I kind of thought Charlotte was going to do that. They decide instead of Ace Bailey to go with Con Knipple out of Duke. Yeah, I'm hot cold on this cat. You know what you needed? You needed a shooter. You needed a wing player, right? Like, that's been the big conversation about the Buzz. They need somebody who is a genuine perimeter threat. There's one other element of this that I think made Con Knipple the guy that Charlotte decided to go with over rolling the dice on Ace Bailey. I'm going to give Charles Lee, the head coach, I'm going to give him one little bit of credit here. He is very clearly a dude who is, as a former player, very clearly a dude who has bought all the way into, I'm going to put the culture into place, and I am going to do whatever I have to do to maintain the culture. Why? Why do I say that? LaMelo Ball. Now, go back to the beginning of last year, before the injury started stacking up again on LaMelo. If you go back to the beginning of last year's NBA season, you will recall that there was a hot minute where LaMelo Ball was being discussed as an all-star. There was a hot minute where LaMelo Ball was being discussed as, is this kid him? Like, he might be.
He can't stay healthy.
I don't disagree, but he stayed healthier for longer than he had most other seasons of his career. And so people were looking and they go, because again, like, and I know we're kind of diving into a lot of minutia here, but keep in mind, it's Jason Kelce in a Speedo in case you.
Yeah, I saw it earlier. Thank you for making me see it twice.
I had to. You had to. Hey, whatever, man. My man's living his best life. I respect it. LaMelo Ball last year came back into the NBA, and he was wearing the ankle braces and the high tops and all that, right? And everybody was like, oh, he's taking care of it. Like, he's taking it seriously now. And he was balling out to the point there were discussions about LaMelo being an all-star. Well, at one point while that discussion of LaMelo being an all-star was happening, Charles Lee benched LaMelo Ball. And everybody was like, yo, what are we doing here? You're benching our guy. And Charles Lee was not hesitant about saying, look, defense is part of what we're going to do here. And LaMelo's scoring, but he's scoring, and then he's just giving them two back the other way. He's a net zero player. So he's going to buy in or he's going to buy out. And he sat LaMelo Ball. And LaMelo had, and I don't know if he's made any conversation to the contrary since then, but LaMelo seemed like he was pretty committed to being a Charlotte Hornet, was pretty committed to putting Charlotte back on the map with some relevancy. And so Charles Lee benching him, there were a lot of Hornets fans that were real upset about that. And my response was, I kind of don't hate it because that's a culture move. That's a, look, nobody's above the program. And some coaches try to do the nobody's above the program move, and what they end up doing is ticking off everybody on the roster, and you end up by trying to create a culture, erasing any semblance of it. But if you've got that pull, if you're a former player and the guys in the locker room look at you, and if you have the respect of your roster and you pull that move, guys on the team are going to be like, okay, cool, good. LaMelo nor anybody else is above me, and I'm not above him, and nobody's above the roster. Nobody's is above the name on the front of the jersey, right? So I think Charles Lee's kind of a culture guy. But here's the thing. If you want to be a culture guy, as I think Charles Lee is attempting to be right now, if you want to be a culture guy, you have got to have guys that are culture guys. Con Knipl is an interesting pick for that reason. There's a lot of good about the kid's game. He's an outstanding shooter. He's a super disciplined passer. He's a good plug-and-play wing option. I do think Con Knipl's a guy that is a day-one starter for the Charlotte Hornets. I think opening day, his name's getting called over the PA in the CHA. There's also some elements to his game that are a little bit lacking. He's an okay passer. He's not a great shot creator. He's not really able to catch and make a move. Now, if you hit him in a space, if you hit him where he's got room to shoot, he's going 50% from the line. He's going 50% from three. Like, the kid can shoot. He's a sniper. He's got that in him. The problem is, unlike a Steph Curry, he's not great at getting the ball defended and creating the shot, right? Like, one of the beautiful things about Steph Curry's game is you can get him the ball at the top of the key with a man in his face, and he can create that shot, whether it's a step forward, step back, drive and pull, or go to the lane. Steph Curry can create his shot. Con Knipl, not great with shot creation right now. He's going to have to be a better finisher. He's going to have to be better at creating under pressure. Phenomenal perimeter shooting. And I will say right now, I had to give flowers to noted Bucky's guy, Kendrick Perkins, last night. Because K-Perk was saying on the draft broadcast something that a lot of other analysts were not addressing. And it is this. There are two elements right now to basketball that the good teams recognize and are taking advantage and playing to, and the bad ones aren't. Number one is that it is not about quantity of three-point shots. It's about quality of three-point shots. You know what? I like this take. I was thinking about this when we got deep into some SGA conversation, and I'm going to tell you about why later on in the show. But I was having an SGA conversation with a buddy of mine from college who was a big basketball guy last night. The conversation is this. What was the role that that SGA got, the tag he got hit with this year? Free throw merchant? Michael Jordan shot more free throws per game per season in every year of his career than SGA did this year.
How dare you compare SGA to Michael Jordan?
Right, but you get the point, right?
You're going to make people really angry.
Kobe Bryant shot more free throws per game in his career than SGA did.
Now, not only did you put him in there with Michael Jordan, you put him in there with Kobe Bryant. Why would you do such a thing?
I have found myself defending. I have found myself kind of rotating off the SGA's free throw merchant critique. And I'm going to tell you why a little bit later on in the show. But the point with all of that was SGA is a guy who has more drives to the lane than anybody else. Over the past five seasons in a row, every year, SGA has more drives per game than any other player in the NBA. 5 years in a row, he's got that. That is what happens when you recognize that attacking the basket sets up the three, not the other way around. And that's why the Thunder are where they are. That's the game that they play. Con Knipple is the guy who takes advantage of that. Con Knipple's a guy that is going to be best when a drive to the lane sets up the three, not use the three to set up a drive to the lane. You don't use a 50% shot to set up, you don't use a 30% shot to shoot up to set up a 50% shot. You use the 50% shot to set up the 30% shot. You don't use the drive to the lane to set up the three. Or scratch that. God, I'm going to get this right. You don't use the three to set up the drive to the lane. Some teams will. We're going to shoot 75 three-pointers, and the reason why is to try to draw the wing players out, to draw the free throw line defenders out to the three-point line and open up the lane for an attack. No. Attack the basket. Even if you're driving into traffic, it's still a higher percentage shot. Attack the basket, then kick it to your snipers who now don't have guys out because it's the opposite. The defense has collapsed. Con Knipple's the guy that takes advantage of that. Phenomenal perimeter shooter, not a great driver to the basket. So I actually like this pick. I do hope that they are able to develop him as a drive scorer. Not even get to the rim, but like take advantage of the short corner. If the big man in the middle shades over to the other side because LaMelo's attacking the far side, give me a guy who can catch, drive to the short corner, and hit the mid-range. And I think he can do that. He's just not going to be able to do it with a hand in his face, at least not right out of the gate. So I don't hate this pick. I think Ace Bailey's a better player. I think he's a better baller. I think he's got more tools in the toolkit. I think he's more athletic. I think he's a better scorer. The reason that everybody was high on Ace Bailey is that cat can and does score from anywhere on the basketball court. That is not Con Knipple. Ace Bailey it is. But This might be a toad pick, dude. This might be an attitude pick. This might be a mental pick.
I think that's part of it, and also where he played basketball in college.
He's got that Duke pedigree. He was obviously
not just that he played in Duke, but Duke is in North Carolina and Charlotte.
That's also true. You're gonna get some fan base on board. I didn't even think about that. That's a great point. You get a Dukie to come to Charlotte. You grow the fan base in the Carolinas a little bit. That's a great thought. Didn't even have it. Good call. I think that this is an attitude pick in that Con Knipple strikes everybody as a dude that is, I'm going to do whatever I need to do for the team. He did that with Duke last year. Remember, he was a reserve role guy for Duke last year. And then they went to, not reserve guy, he was a role guy in the offense because the offense was, where's Cooper Flagg? That was the offense. Then they got to the ACC tournament and Cooper Flagg got hurt. Now, we were talking about it at the time that it happened, and we were talking about the fact that the belief was Cooper Flagg probably could have come back a game or two earlier than he did, but they wanted to give him time, and they were able to give him time because Con Knipple was able to fill the role. Con Knipple was able to go, okay, I'm a perimeter shooter, but I can play where Cooper plays. Not as well as him, but I can play where he plays, and we can bring in other guys to do what I do, and we're going to be better for that. He is a clubhouse guy. He is a culture guy. He is a guy that's going to buy into that. So, well-rounded perimeter game, phenomenal three-point shooter, good locker room, dude, super dependable, not any history of injury that you've got to worry about, and guy who played his college ball in the Carolinas, meaning you bring the Dukies over to you. I think he's a night one starter. I think he is probably playing the three, the shooting forward spot night of opening day for the Hornets. I think he and LaMelo, I think LaMelo can work well here because LaMelo, kind of like SGA, is a slash score threat distribute, right? LaMelo can drive, if he can stay healthy, LaMelo can come off the dribble. He can attack in either direction, right or left, and then he can either be the mid-range guy, attack the rim, but he's a better assist maker than he gets credit for. So if he can get to the inside and draw defenses down and give Con Knipple some space, these two could be a good 1-2 tandem. That's the optimistic viewpoint. If Con Knipple's not a threat with the basketball, yeah, maybe that kind of quells that a little bit. All right, we got to come back to this later because there was one more significant move that the Buzz made last night, trading Mark Williams out to Phoenix. They do get a guy at a pick in return. I'll tell you what they did with it coming up later in the show. Water cooler cheat sheet next. I'll run you through the top three sports stories that you need to know before you get to the office. I got some great sound for you. Lulu Kessin at 8 o'clock. All that coming up after Lonzo gives you a first overall draft pick caliber sports flash.
Yeah, but I'll be in the G League for a while. It just happens. The Atlanta Braves' perfection against the Mets came to a conclusion last night with a 7-3 loss to New York. Rookie Didier Fuentes made his second big league start but got hammered, giving up 8 hits and 6 runs in 3.1 innings, striking out just one. The Braves collected 6 hits, including Drake Baldwin's 9th homer of the year, but went 1-6 with runners in scoring position. The Charlotte Hornets selected Duke Con Knipple with the 4th overall selection, a 6'5 wing player with a great shot and aggressive defense. Charlotte also traded center Mark Williams to Phoenix in return for the number 29 pick and a first rounder in 2029, as well as center Vasily Micic. The Hornets drafted UConn's Liam McNeely with the pick. Ace Bailey was a shock pick to Utah at number 5. Bailey was not secretive with his desire to land in either Washington or New York, and that didn't happen.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Let's be honest, you've been portrayed as a monster.
Yes.
Evil, maniacal.
What's it like to interview a killer? 48 Hours is taking you inside what we've learned about the criminal mind. This is Killer Conversation. You can follow and listen to Killer Conversation on Tuesdays in the 48 Hours podcast feed on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.